Indeed. Amen. Please sit down. If you want to have your Bibles open or your devices switched on and find John chapter 10, we'll get to that in a moment. But Gene, I have to say, you've left this in far too a neat and tidy fashion. So I'm just going to sort that out. Okay, yes, this is me. This is too neat and tidy. Okay? Okay, this will make more sense later on. I am kind of cheating a bit because I'm putting a towel down because Little Wonders are here tomorrow. And I'm hoping that what I'm about to do, the towel is in the right place. But we'll soon find out. No, it wasn't. Not completely. Anyway, right, we'll just come back to that. That's better. That's better, right? Just trust me, that is far better. We'll come back to that. So, Jesus said, I have come that you may have life and have life in all its fullness. Isn't that awesome? Yay. Oh, two of you agree. Right, good. Okay, just soak that up for a minute, okay? Jesus said, I have come so that you may have life and life in all its fullness. Just think about that. Just soak that up for a moment. It's amazing, isn't it? Just an awesome concept. You know, I saw on Facebook the other day a post which said that getting up in the mornings would be so much easier if we had waiting for us a Caribbean beach and 85 degrees of sun waiting outside. But listen, we don't need that. Now, hang on a minute. Is that going a bit too far? We don't. Right, listen, we don't need that. Why? Because Jesus said, I have come that we may have life, finish this with me, and life in all its fullness. That's why we don't need it. We've got Jesus. We've got life in all its fullness. Okay, so listen to these verses. We've got what we need already. Psalm 23, verse 5 to 6 says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. I've lost my notes now. Right, here they are. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And there's another one. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be the shepherd. He will lead me to springs of living water. Here's another one. Psalm 35, verse 9. Then my soul will rejoice in the Lord, and I will delight in his salvation. I'm not going to demonstrate that. We have life in all its fullness through Jesus, who just a little while ago, it was just a little while ago, you know, our Christmas services feel like forever ago in some ways, but it was just a little while ago. Just recently, we were celebrating Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. So tell me then, how are you doing with this already? Life in all its fullness. What's going on for you at the moment, as you're hearing me say these things? What I want you to do is just take a moment or two just to talk to somebody close to you if you can. Don't worry if you don't want to, that's fine. Just have a chat, but I need you to do this for me, okay? Be honest. Be honest with yourself and with each other, because when you're doing that, you're being honest with God as well. Life in all its fullness, is that constantly on your mind every day when you wake up? You're, yay, life in all its fullness. Is that, yeah, I'm not wanting answers yet. I'll come back to those. Just talk just for a little moment between yourselves and think about where you're at with this already. Okay, let's come back together. So I can see some frowns on some of your faces. I can see concerned looks. I've already heard some no's. Tell me what you've been saying to each other. Don't be shy. It's a bit difficult at the moment. Put your hand up if you're there. Okay? Quite a number of us. Okay? What other things have you said? Or does that cover it all? That's the next page. Yeah. Okay. Did you hear that? So they were saying, like, you know, we shouldn't be caught up in what other people, the world, define as what fullness needs to look like and what it needs to mean. Jean's prayer highlighted the fact that there are times, there are situations when it doesn't seem to match. So, okay, let's be more realistic then. Okay, so your cup has long since been overflowing because life feels more like a pile of broken pieces. Is that more realistic? Okay. Or what about this one? Streams that were once flowing so abundantly have stopped. Your well is dry and your reserves have run out. You can see a few nods. Okay. Here's another one. Where once there was vitality and enthusiasm for life. It's a long time since I've physically been able to do that. Once where there was vitality and enthusiasm for life, now it all feels so tired and pointless. I feel like I'm already exhausted for tomorrow. Are those things more realistic? Yeah, okay. But hold on. Because Jesus said, I have come that you may have life in all its fullness. So what's happened? What's going on here? You know, we're starting a new teaching series that will take us right up to Easter. It won't take you much to guess what the title of the main heading of the teaching series is. It's on the screen. Life in all its fullness. This is what I want us to be thinking about and exploring. What does it mean, though? What on earth was Jesus talking about? What does it mean? We won't be trying to work things out for ourselves as we're doing this, or by coming up with our own conclusions, but we're only going to be able to work this out if our focus stays on Jesus and what he meant and how he showed that and what he said about it. We'll only see and know the fullness of life and experience that in all its fullness and experience that fullness of God in our lives through the lived out example and teaching of Jesus. That's where we need to keep our focus. You know, knowing life in all its fullness is transforming. It doesn't leave us as we were. It transforms us. Something happens. It does something. It enables us to live fully as God intended, because what we'll be doing is we'll be integrating everything about us, everything about our lives, around what we see and what we know of God's ways. You know, we celebrated Jesus coming into the world at Christmas. What we need to do now is live it. It's to live out that wonder of the fullness of Jesus. This is going to be our focus. We need to be people of God, the people that God has always intended for us to be. Not what we've been pushed into, not what we've been squeezed into or anything like that. But what we learn from Jesus about life in all its fullness. It's going to happen then over a number of weeks as we work through John chapter 10. And we're going to be doing that quite slowly for the first bit. And then later on, we'll get to the passages towards Easter, where we look at other parts of John's gospel. And then move into focusing then on the cross and resurrection glory. We have to do that. But what I want us to do first is we just need to pause and pray. If we're going to get as much out of this teaching series as we might, we need to pause and pray. We need to be ready ourselves. We need to be ready to be, like I said just now, honest with each other, honest with ourselves, honest with God. Otherwise, you know, we're not, the life that we're not living at the moment, the not all in all its fullness, that won't change. Okay, so we need to pause and pray. So let's just do that. Pause and be still for a moment. Lord, I want to pause here and pray and ask you to give us a willingness, a deep down, genuine willingness to be transformed into the fullness of life that you hold out to us in Jesus. To be transformed in our expectations and our experiences, in our relationships and in our outlook. Lord, in everything. Give us that willingness to want that. Otherwise, we're just wasting our time here. Father, don't let us do that. It's not honouring to you. It's not glorifying to your name. It's not right. We need to have that willingness to hear from you, to be transformed by you. So I pray, Father, as we look at your Gospels and look at your Bible, other passages that we'll bring in along the way, then, Father, we will hear from you and understand, Jesus, what you meant, what you mean for us right now when you talk about life in all its fullness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So John chapter 10, I'm going to read the first 21 verses of John chapter 10. So follow with me if you can. The words of Jesus. I tell you the truth. The one who does not enter the sheep by the sheep gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all of his own sheep, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but they did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, I tell you the truth. I am the gate for the sheep. All who ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full, or in all its fullness, or in all its abundance. It depends which translation you're reading. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf come in, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks and the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father and I lay down my life for the sheep, I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I receive from my Father. At these words, the Jews were divided. Many of them said, he is demon-possessed and raving mad. Why listen to him? But others said, these are not the sayings of a man possessed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? So today we're going to look at that whole section that I've just read in something of an overview. Then we're going to come back to it more slowly and in more depth and dig down deep into it over the coming weeks. But just notice at the outset, please, that here in this opening section of John 10, there are different characters involved. We've got Pharisees, we've got a shepherd, we've got mention of thieves and robbers. There's mention of a father. But there's also the possibility of one who is demon-possessed. there are different themes here. There are different illustrations that are used. That includes a gate, a voice to be listened to, following, pasture to be found, the danger of attack, and a life being given. Each step along the way, our focus, like I've already said, is going to be on Jesus. It's going to be on Jesus so that we can see and understand and experience and ultimately live by life in all its fullness, how Jesus meant it and how Jesus was showing it. So first of all, let's be clear on what Jesus is offering. The translation I use when I'm preaching the NIV, it doesn't make it as clear and obvious as some other translations do who Jesus was speaking to in John chapter 10. So what we just need to do is glance back at chapter 9 to be clear on that. And that's where we discover that Jesus was talking to Pharisees. He wasn't talking to people like him. He was talking to Pharisees. And they were the ones teaching in the synagogue and setting the example for people around them. You know, now perhaps some of them were very godly people and perhaps some of them were getting it right, but most expressed what they taught and demanded. Hear that word. It's a strong word, but it's where they were at. Demanded of people. And they did that in rigid and legalistic ways. They were also quite well known for being hypocritical. So not really altogether the best example to follow. Perhaps an equivalent for us today would be the kind of person who gets in the way of somebody else seeing the fullness of God because they teach a culture of rules and regulations, and they do that in a way that is just so unhelpful, because unless you follow that, unless you abide by that, you don't stand any chance at all of living in relationship with God. So the Pharisees here were effectively preaching a culture of death, because they were stifling the way and the openness to life in all its fullness. And along comes Jesus here in chapter 10 of John's Gospel, preaching a life in all its fullness. He did that continuously, didn't he? If we know about Jesus and his teachings in the Bible, we see he did that continuously. And so we have here John 10, verse 10. We have other verses like John 14, verse 6, where Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." This is Jesus. Now, John uses two different words in Greek. I was having a conversation with Hannah the other day. I can't remember how it came up, but I mentioned the Greek New Testament. And she said, "Yeah, but you can't read the Greek New Testament." "Oh, well, I can." And she was like, "Really?" And then I did confess, not quite as well as I used to be able to. And I'm glad James isn't here this morning, because if I've got this wrong, he might pick me up. But I don't think I have. So anyway, listen. And as I said to Hannah then, I used to refer to the Greek New Testament all the time when I started preaching. And then I realized, actually, we don't always want to hear that, but today it's relevant. It was relevant when Jean referred to it earlier, and we've got to look at it here. Because what goes on is that in John, there are two different words for life that are being used. One of them sounds like our word BIOS. Now, if you know anything about computers, if your BIOS settings aren't right, nothing happens. There is no life. The computer doesn't do anything. Well, it gives you lots of stupid messages on your screen, or just doesn't do anything. This is about the physical functioning part of life. Life. Okay? There's another word that the Greek New Testament has that John uses here for life. Do you know what this word is? Yeah. It sounds like the word Zoe, the name Zoe. I thought you might. It sounds like the name Zoe. That's the kind of life that Jesus is talking about. While I was reading about this, it kept talking about Zoe life. And it's like, that's a really funny way of putting it. But it makes sense. Because what we've got here is a life that's eternal. It's spiritual. It's full of meaning. It's rich and it's deep. It's to be experienced and embraced and enjoyed at every moment. You see the difference between those two words, but they mesh together as one. But it's this life here that Jesus is talking about. Life in all its fullness that Jesus offers enables us to see God for who he is really like. And if you want to know what God is like, don't look any kind of like common misunderstandings that we might have grown up with, or what we've got in our heads that God is this scary thing, or whatever it is that the world tells us about. Don't be put off by culture that impresses us, the things that culture impress us to look on, that actually drag us right away from the fullness of who God is. Just look at Jesus. That's how we'll understand what it means. Life in all its fullness. We need to understand what it means. We might think we already do, but you know, the more I've thought about this teaching series, the more I've realized perhaps we don't. Understand what this means. You know, it's really easy to only look for a full experience of God in the big, in the impressive things, in the miraculous and the spectacular. You know, those things are all good. Don't hear this wrongly. Those things are all good. We need to praise God for them. But there's more we need to understand. That's not the whole story. If all we do is look for and crave after the big, the spectacular, the miraculous, then we're in danger of actually completely missing the point. You know, God's greatest miracle of all is life itself in the first place. Don't miss that. You know, I want the miraculous and the spectacular in my life. I want to see that going on in God's church, in God's world. But I also don't want to miss the point of life in all its fullness in the first place. So look at the example Jesus uses here. These are such incredible examples he uses. The first main example that Jesus uses in John chapter 10 is a gate. That's it. It's a gate. It's not some carefully crafted theological concept that we can't get our heads around. It's not some carefully crafted set of doctrines or rules and regulations that tie us in and we can't breathe and we can't live. It's a gate. Then what he does is he adds another very simple thing. Sheep. But don't leave the gate open for the sheep. Because what are they going to do? They're just going to go straight off through it, aren't they? The thing is, Jesus said, sheep come and go. Now, we're going deeper on this next week, but understand this bit for now. The Pharisees offered life on the surface. It was great. It's fine. It was life on the surface. It was restricted. It was controlled. Then Jesus comes along and offers life in all its fullness that shows us our places of safety and refuge, our places of security, our places where it's good to be behind the gate and safe and secure. But as well, Jesus came along giving us the choice to follow him as he opens the gate, as he leads us into places of pasture, places of abundance, places of blessing, into life in all its fullness. Jesus didn't open the gate and go, off you go, sort it out for yourself. He uses the illustration of the shepherd coming in and going out, and the sheep following. Jesus calls us to a depth of richness of life. You know, as a part of my preparation for today, I listened to a sermon on this passage by a guy called Joshua Searle. He's currently a lecturer at Spurgeon's College, where I trained for ministry. He wasn't there at the time. I don't know who the guy is. But he comments on how, as human beings, we have this incredible capacity to live entirely on the surface of life. And then he says this, Jesus calls us to the depth and richness of life in all its fullness. He summons us away from existing on the surface of superficial things and into deep living. Because Jesus calls us to life attuned to the deep rhythms of grace that cherish life in all its fullness as a precious gift of God. That's what we need to understand, isn't it? It's what we need to understand here more than anything else. Jesus offers so much more than this surface functional stuff of life. We have to do the functional stuff to make life go reasonably well. But there's so much more than just that service stuff. Jesus offers us love.
He offers us truth. He offers us relationship. He offers us grace, acceptance, forgiveness. All of those things coming together to lead to the transformation that I mentioned at the beginning. These are the things that we need to cherish. We need to know about them. We need to understand them. And then we've got to decide, well, what are we going to do with them? So, what are we doing with this? You know, sheep are easily distracted, aren't they? Maybe that's why the example of sheep following a shepherd in John's Gospel is so powerful and so easy for us to understand. We are so easily distracted in our lives, aren't we? But just put your hand up for a moment if you never get distracted. Are you telling the truth? Miss who's turning 30 today. Feeling very clever. Yeah, sorry. No, we are, aren't we? We are so easily distracted. And, you know, here's a few things that maybe are the things that distract us. Being busy. Being busy. Are we always effective when we're busy? No. But we're busy. Busy's good. Expectations on ourselves that other people put on us that we think we've got to match up to. Other things, self-centeredness, weakness, believing that just making do is all we deserve and that, well, we just have to put up with that. We're surrounded by a consumer culture, aren't we? That, you know, says get. You know, get that stuff. Get those possessions and get that status. And that's it. Life sorted. Wonder how many other things there are. What things, what have I already said about our distractions can you relate to? What other things could we add? We don't have time to stop and talk about that again, but there will be more, I'm sure. Life is so easily distracted. Now, here's Joshua Searle again. He says this. We can get trapped into a vortex of routines and the demands and pressures that other people put on us. And we forget what a privilege it is to be alive. We take the world for granted and become apathetic to the wonder and miracle of life by smothering it under a tedious blanket of comfort, custom, routine, and second best. Is that really what we want? Is that really what you want for your life? Life in all its fullness, smothered under some kind of blanket of, oh, let's just be comfortable. Let's just do what we've always done. Let's do what we know. Is that really what you want for your life? That just, oh, we'll just make do. Is that really what you want for life? You know, listen, I don't. I hope you don't either. You know, I want to live life in all its fullness through Jesus in a way that's constantly focused on love and compassion and forgiveness and welcome and hospitality and embrace and whatever else we want to put on that list. You know, that happens in every tiny little detail of our life, not just on the big, amazing, miraculous and spectacular. You know, listen to these words of Jesus from Matthew 25. Jesus said, I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I was naked and needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. Listen, that's life in all its fullness. The simple, basic things of life happening. That's deep living. It's focused on every aspect of life. For ourselves, for the people living around us. Why? Well, listen, we don't like being thirsty, do we? I don't. If we're thirsty, we go get a drink. If we see somebody else that's thirsty, life in all its fullness means that we'll get them a drink. I don't like being hungry. You can tell that. We go get something to eat. If we see somebody who's hungry, life in all its fullness fills us with compassion to want to transform their scenario right there and then, get them something to eat. There's a big difference between us living outwardly and living inwardly. The living inwardly is all about us. It's all about me. The living outwardly is life in all its fullness in the way that Jesus is presenting us with here. Then Jesus was asked in that same passage, Matthew 25, well, when did we ever do those things? And his response was this, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me. That's outward living.
thinking about the other person as well as ourselves. That's life in all its fullness. That's what it looks like. It's understanding what God looks like in every aspect of our lives from every possible angle. And God does that. He looks at us from every possible angle and then offers us all that we need to give us that fullness of life. But listen, just be careful here. Jesus isn't giving us something that's all neat and tidy, that somehow extracts us out of the mess of life and protects us into some kind of nice Christian bubble where everything is wonderful. That's why I did this. And David reflected it in what he said. This is why I did this. I get your point that you did here, but I suddenly had this thought, oh, I'm just going to go and mess it up, because this is part of life in all its fullness. Don't think I'm standing here preaching at you saying nothing ever should be going wrong in your life. No problems should be coming along. No illnesses, no work issues, no whatever, whatever, whatever. Life in all its fullness includes the mess and the mayhem. When we understand fully what life in all its fullness is offering, and we make the choice to embrace it for ourselves through Jesus, then we'll be following his example. We'll be holding on to hope as we live by faith. Sometimes we'll just be clinging to it, desperate, as we trust in Jesus. You know, sometimes we'll be delighting ourselves in the fullness of life, and Jesus will be there dancing with us. At other times, it will be Jesus who's carrying us because we can't do anything for ourselves. Carrying us, holding us as we struggle through a particular situation that comes at us in the most unwelcome of ways. But listen, know this. Everything is about embracing life in all its fullness. And it means that Jesus will never leave us or give up on us. No matter how much we shout and scream at him, and he can take that, we can shout and scream all we like. And no matter how much we do, Jesus will never leave us and forsake us. No matter how much we stand and shout and scream that life is not fair, that this is unreasonable or whatever else it is, Jesus will not give up on us, because he's there as our good shepherd to lead us in and out of that gate, to places of pasture, places of blessing, places of abundance. Understand that, and now decide what you're going to do with it. Be clear, understand, and decide. You know, we need to get beyond a life of all its fullness, being just about meeting together on a Sunday morning, pretending like we've got it all sorted out, as we drink coffee, as we sing songs and listen to or preach a sermon, and then somehow walk out of the door back into our making-do lives again. We need to get beyond that. It's not easy. It's not easy. I'm looking at myself in the mirror as I'm saying these things. It's not easy. So here's a question to end with. Can we, together, commit to God, commit to each other and to the world around us, to learn for the first time, or to relearn, or to go deeper into life in all its fullness as we work through this teaching series together? Can we? Can we do that? If we can't, then I'm just going to scrap the teaching series and we'll give up and go play somewhere else. Can we do this? Can we commit together to each other? This is going to be our focus next Sunday, people. So please pay attention to the words that you're given on the church covenant documents. Let's do this. We can, can't we? We can do this. Life in all its fullness. We don't have to do it on our own. We're here to do it together. We're here to do it in Jesus' name as his church. So let's pray together. Lord, we ask that you will bring renewal of life in all its fullness to us. Father, for some here, maybe that needs to be happening for the first time ever. You know, Lord, maybe there are even ones of us here in the room which who are sitting there thinking, do you know what? I thought I'd been a Christian doing all these things right for a while, and now I'm realizing actually this isn't life in all its fullness that I've been taught or shown. This is something else. And here in Jesus, I need to think again. I need to relearn. Lord, help us to stop skimming the surface of life
and actually to go deeper with you. Maybe for some of us, we used to be so deeply immersed. But here now, we've become so distracted that we've just been going through the motions, ticking boxes, pretending. Father, we pray for a willingness to seek out our deep life in you, to embrace and notice the glory of God in every aspect of our lives, right down to the tiniest detail. And Lord, this bit of this prayer is about us individually. So Lord, speak to our hearts, speak to our souls individually, just for a moment, Lord, as a pause. Now, Father, speak to us as Bromsgrove Baptist Church. Lord, we pray for healing for things we find hard and are struggling with right now. Lord, we pray for a renewing of purpose and vision and values, a renewing of our approach to belonging, growing and serving. Father, stop us from settling for second best or just making do. Father, give us that willingness of your church to grow in love for each other. Deepen our desire to reflect the truth of you, Lord, in all its life and all its fullness with you, Jesus, to all people in all places, so that more people will come to saving faith with you. And then, Lord, we extend that prayer out to our community, our nation, our world, so close at home and further away. Father, our mission and ministry in your name, Jesus, isn't confined or restrained to buildings. But it goes with us and it dwells within us wherever we are, whoever we are, whatever we're doing. Forgive us though when we contain it in our building and renew in us our desire to serve you fully in every aspect of our lives. And just as you fill us fully in every aspect of life, Lord. Do that for us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to move into our